Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. It's the Boys of Summer here. Jack, Ross and Andrew, and we're ready for the biggest party of the summer, SummerSlam 2022. Are we excited for SummerSlam?
God, I can't wait.
Oh, yes. Andrew?
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. What about you?
Well, I'm conflicted. Because on one hand, there was rumours, wasn't there, and speculation on Twitter that WWE were unhappy with WWE's SummerSlam card that they'd made themselves. But now, it's a new creative helm. We don't know what's going on. It's a new creative direction. Wait. Triple H is at the helm. Yes.
I've heard from Triple H himself. Would DM him last night that he wants to make a splash at SummerSlam. So
he said that to you.
Ross.
I heard that he wanted to make a splash, but wouldn't do so if it wasn't appropriate. And fitting.
Interesting. Yeah. Is he DMing you as well?
Yeah.
Not DMing you?
No.
This is a 9 pitches video in which we'll go around in a circle and each have 3 lovely pitches. Ross, then Andrew, then me. We'll go round again and again and we'll end up with 9 lovely pitches for SummerSlam 2022. But remember, it's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Yay! It's a party in the USA.
Yeah.
Well, didn't one time we do Waka Waka?
Yeah, that was last time.
It's the new thing to keep people coming back. What song will he sing next?
Yeah, that was a good one, by the way.
This is for me and Ross, this is the second 9 pitches video we've done in a very short space of time.
Yeah.
We were here on Sunday.
How have you got all these ideas in your craniums, I know.
And also, not to get anyone too excited, but this time, because I'm usually bullet pointy, a bit freewheeling, I've scripted all 3 of my pitches.
See this
I've got
here.
More than one page.
Look
at that. I've done. Look at this bit of paper here. What? Double sided.
You've done it, me. Double sided.
I'll save the bastard trees.
Ross, can we have your first pitch, please?
Of course you can. Right. According to Wikipedia, which of course is the best source of information on the internet, because anyone can edit it, which means you're always getting the best source of information possible, reckons Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey will be the 5th match on the SummerSlam 2022 card. So during this match, I want to see Liv Morgan take Ronda Rousey to a brilliant match and get herself into a position where she could win the bloody thing. Clean. Not like she did Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Then, just as she's setting up for an oblivion or some sort of finisher maneuver, a figure in a balaclava jumps the barricade and prowls around the ringside area. Yes, we're going back to that lovely trope, the balaclava. The mysterious figure then grabs the SmackDown Women's title and takes off.
Oh,
runs away through the crowd, gone, never to be heard from again. Liv goes on to win the match, crucially.
Wow.
But her big career-defining moment has been ruined by this masked assailant.
Does Liv realise the belt's gone, or is it afters where she's like, why isn't there a belt? Either one.
Could
yeah.
be either way, yeah. Then we're going back to Wikipedia, which of course is the best source of information on the internet, because anyone can edit it, which means you always get the best source of information. Reckons Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's title is going to be the 7th match on the card, and who am I to doubt that?
I don't know if it's in any order,
Who am I to doubt Wikipedia? That could have been edited by Triple H himself. That's why it's the best source on the internet. But guess what? The same thing happens again during that match. Just as one of Becky and or Bianca is going to win the match, a masked person hops the barricade, takes the title, and runs away.
The same person?
No. We don't know, do we?
We don't know.
They got balaclava on. You can't really tell. Yeah. Mm. Similar body types. I don't know. Could it be the same person? Let's find out in a minute, eh? During the show, we see Triple H get the authorities involved. Why my voice cracked there? I've got no idea.
It's an emotional time.
WWE.com's running articles with security camera footage of these masked or just one person or is it two? I don't know. These assailants get entering the building, running away from the building.
Well, how many are there?
We don't know. It could be the same person going and coming back. It could be two different people. We're not too sure at this. Because we know the security footage they use in wrestling. It's not HD, is it?
No.
It's always pixelated. Like, it's up there. Yeah. You know, it's a wrestling trope. The local news in Nashville's getting involved with a report because Jeff Jarrett told them so, and he's the mayor of Nashville. We need this to feel as real as possible. The next night on Raw, Liv and the winner of Bianca and Becky, that's inconsequential in this pitch, are presented with replica title belts, and Triple H issues a public apology to them because the company couldn't keep the real ones in the hoose. Mm. They got taken out the hoose, out the house. He tells the watching Dury Universe to keep an eye out for the titles on eBay and the like, because as we saw recently, Bianca Belair's gear was on eBay. And she's, I think it still might be. So if you see it, buy it and give it back to her, I guess. The hunt for the title goes on for ages. I mean ages. Each week we're getting a sort of Jack Tunney-esque update from Triple H, because that's what we all want to see. Because we all know those kind of updates are the realest kind of updates. And there's no storyline going on there because they're really real. Then we're through to Survivor Series with this pitch. We're in the midst of the champion versus champion match involving the Raw and the SmackDown Women's Champions, whoever they are at the time, when these bloody masked people who haven't been seen since SummerSlam attack both competitors in the match. They remove their masks to reveal who they are. It's Sasha Banks and Naomi.
Oh!
They are MAYAYAs in unity and all that sort of stuff. They've taken the titles hostage, since their prospects as women's tag team champions were taken hostage by Vincent Kennedy McMahon, that arsehole. And then that either sets up matches for WrestleManias against the two champions, or it could be, you know, they bring back the women's tag team championships and actually do it properly. Could have that be the WrestleMania match with Sasha Banks and Naomi taking on whoever the, I don't know, insert tag team there. But it's the week-to-week intrigue, it's the final reveal, it's the longer-term story is what I'm here for. Get the deals thrashed out, Paul and Nick and Stephanie, you cannot lose them. There's a message to them at the end there.
It's a yes from me straight away.
Yeah,
it's a compelling story. I like the bringing back Sasha and Naomi. It was like when Miz and R-Truth went rogue and didn't care anymore.
Yeah. I did see it, when they were smoking and that.
Yeah.
Badass that.
But
imagine Sasha Banks with a tab.
Maybe with a kind of strong bone.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like that, but like good, because that didn't end well.
Well, because I had the wrong people involved.
Yeah, but this would work because it's real. There's reality behind it, and I think it would be a nice reintroduction. It would also be a nice statement from Triple H showing that, hey, I don't care who's maybe messed my father-in-law around. This is a fresh start, clean slate for everyone. Mm. They're in prominent roles now. Get them back in.
This is the splash.
This is the splash.
This is the splash
he told me about. Told me this pitch directly. Oh. This is Triple H.
This is what's going to happen on Sunday.
It's not what we think is going to happen or what we want to happen. It's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yes. This is an internal source. Take this to Meltzer. This is what's going to happen on Sunday.
Incredible. You've titillated and tantalized, Ross. Titillated and tantalized my guilty pleasures, because at the start, right, I know the balaclava trope has been done, overused.
Not done enough. The greats use the balaclava.
Well, apparently they do, because Sasha and Naomi are going to be using the balaclavas on Saturday.
I meant the creative greats.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I think that's so good. I think that's a really good way of doing it. And then also to have it play out for as long as you did there, have everything kind of culminate at Survivor Series, I thought that was a really nice way to do it rather than doing it straight away. So it's a big old yes-a-rooney from me.
Cheers.
It's good stuff.
Cheers. I don't know what to say then.
It's like a Richard Tubman response to that.
Happy birthday, Richard.
Happy birthday, Richard. Yeah, happy birthday, Richard Tubman. He's just in there.
He's just in there. But he would respond with.
He did. He came in here and did.
He did. Nice. He did. It's like he's in the room.
Do your pitch.
Should we do the pitch? Okay, so we're heading on over to what I think is probably going to be the main event: Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns for the Ooh Woo in a Last Man Standing match.
Ooh Woo.
Ooh Woo. The match is already well underway. We've already had like the run-ins from the Usos and Paul Heyman. They've all been dispatched by big, beefy Broccoli Lesnar. It's just him and Roman remaining in the ring one-on-one. It's time to get it done, everybody. Brock, with everything left in the tank, he knows it's not going to... It's simple. Finisher spams aren't going to do the trick, right? Brock, with everything left in the tank, he hoys Roman on his shoulders, climbs the turnbuckle, and hits a super F5. But due to the repercussions of executing the move from that height, both men lay on the canvas as the ref begins to do the count. Cue It's only theory, everybody, who earlier in the night didn't regain the US title, by the way. Just putting that out there. Making good on his promise to cash in before the night's end to become the youngest WWE champion in history, because he still has until September 14th to break the record.
Oh, does
he? So there's still a bit of time. There's still a bit of time. So he can, you know, use that as his little crutch and whatever. Before cashing in, though, we see something other than the briefcase in Theory's hands. It's a roll of duct tape. Theory frantically unravels the tape, tying it around the ankles of a semi-conscious Brock Lesnar and bounding him to the ring post before the Beast can capitalize. With Roman still showing no signs of movement, Theory passes his briefcase to the ref and officially announces that he's cashing in. As Brock regains some semblance of where he is, Theory mocks him as he slowly approaches Reigns to collect the easy cover. But as he turns to face the tribal chief, the arena fills with the sounds of some very familiar horns, and the words hustle, loyalty, and respect adorning the Titantron screens. Theory can't believe it. Surely it's an attempt by the Bloodline to throw him off balance. But no, Cena appears at the top of the ramp, offers up a smile and a salute, which gives Reigns enough time to recover and hit the spear on Theory, pinning him for the 1-2-3 as the arena goes, yay! He's done. He's not got his thing anymore. And then we can set up between Cena and Theory down the line, because Theory's just been mocking John Cena this whole entire time. And that can lead to something at WrestleMania. Like, Cena can be like, you're not ready for any of this. It's all going to your head. Now that you've not got Vince, you got to do this on your own. The hustle, loyalty, and respect and all that, rather than having Vince by your side this whole time. And, yeah.
If there's one thing that this past Raw taught me, it's that the crowd would rather Roman quash an attempt from Theory to cash in rather than Theory cash in. Because if that was... I don't think it was, but if that was an attempt to get Roman booed and Theory cheered, it totally went the other way.
Absolutely.
Roman was way too cool.
Yeah.
Who's your daddy now? It's me. I'm your dad. I'm your father. Who's your daddy? That's what the crowd was saying.
They were.
So it's a yes from me in a way.
In a way.
Because my pitch, while different, involves similar themes.
Oh, okay, okay.
So I'm going to say yes, but mine's different.
Okay, cool.
Yes, but mine's better, is what you just said.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, that's fair enough. I'm excited to see where he goes.
I didn't say better, just...
But he's just...
Better. It's a yes from me. I don't want Austin Theory, whatever the hell his name is, to win the title, because he's lost 6 televised matches in a row since winning the briefcase.
Some by DQ.
I know, but I know they're going for the shock and horror. Oh, he couldn't possibly win the title, maybe. And look, he's cashing. He actually has. Whoa, they've made him like a right whopper, more so than he probably is anyway. So I don't want to say that all. So that getting out of that mess is a good thing there you've done.
And in the feud with Cena, I assume he'd look better because of that feud.
Yeah,
it feels too early in his journey.
Because he has to build himself up, right, to get to that level. And then he can finally beat Cena. And then, you know, then he can carve his own legacy.
You know what? This is another thing why I hate the dirt sheets, right?
Right.
Because they've told us for the longest time that they're high on Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Theory's the next guy. So that puts an expectation in your mind, doesn't it? We don't know if that's true.
But the Vince stuff made it seem...
Ah, but the Vince stuff made him like a right idiot.
That's just Vince.
Like someone's grandchild getting scolded by their grandparent.
The McMahons, in their own separate ways, are just incapable of putting someone else over.
Yeah,
that was by that. Doing
that wasn't a way to make someone look cool. And
Steph can't... She can't... She has to have the last word.
She did in 2003.
And Shane... The most unique version of this McMahon family trope is that he just beats everyone, which is fantastic.
But the McMahons have proven in the past they can't, like they had John Cena spanking Stephanie. Why couldn't Theory spanking Vince earlier this year? That would have been
that would have been phenomenal.
That would have been the answer.
Because Vince's
hard
would have got in the way. It would have made an awkward angle while he was being spanked. He loves that sort of stuff, humiliation and punishment, doesn't he? Yeah.
I want to also point out, I was trying to factor in some way of having LA Knight in here as well to be kind of at the end. But then I was like, well, the show would close out, so maybe we couldn't get like a backstage segment of LA Knight being like,
well, don't you worry about that, because someone else is all the chickadees out there are losing their bananas.
My first pitch is entitled, Let's Try to Fix This Theory Cash in Bollocks. If Theory does cash in on Sunday, I think it's a lose-lose situation. If he's successful, we've ended Roman's historic title reign in a quite a cheap way, and also it feels way too soon in Theory's push. But if he's unsuccessful, then his push risks being over because he might look like a bit of a fool, won't he? So I think the best course of action is for Theory to definitely not even attempt to cash in. Originally, I thought about having someone attack him en route, but then even the idea of a cash-in could leave the live crowd deflated if the cash-in then didn't happen. We're already kind of anticipating it, so it'll feel weird if it just doesn't get referenced. So it does need to be referenced, but this is how I'm going to do it, without him actually cashing in. I think Theory should actually beat Bobby to win back the US title with a sneaky roll-up, not one with the feet on the ropes, but one which demonstrates his technical prowess. Then a furious Bobby could put him through the announce table afterwards, or drag him outside and throw him into the Cumberland River. I used Google Maps to verify this. You'd need to head to parking lot H or parking lot S, which is parallel to the river, then head over a short wall, across the road, another low fence into a lightly wooded area, through those trees, and then into the river. It sounds like a long journey. Yeah, but they're pro wrestlers.
Get a golf cart on the go.
It's not that far, and there's walls in the way. Okay, okay. You've got to kind of, you just have to throw him several times into the car park, over the wall, across the road, over the fence, through the trees, into the river. It's like a par 7 or 8 course.
Bobby can do that.
Yeah, Bobby can do that. This would provide a touch of local excitement, I've said. Imagine if this happened in Newcastle and Lashley threw Theory into the Tyne. Nobody there live would even be thinking about the cash-in anymore, so it wouldn't taint the main event. Everyone would just be like, oh, I thrown him in the river. So I think it'd be good. I don't know how clean the Cumberland River is and how it compares to the Tyne.
You'd hope it would be.
At North Wrestling's old venue, the local indie promotion, North Wrestling, fantastic indie promotion, their old venue was on the side of the Tyne.
Yeah.
And they'd often do like a false count anywhere match where there'd be a tease of someone getting thrown in the Tyne. But you can't realistically expect someone to willingly jump in the Tyne.
Filthy. No.
Filthy. Yeah, very, very, very dirty.
Bad. I know Scotty T from Geordie Shore once jumped in the Tyne.
And it didn't affect him one iota.
It was part of his ice bucket challenge. He went, she has the ice and she has the river. And he just jumped in. Like. Anyway. He has the river, but he, like a kid in a like a school play, he didn't end his line before he, so he says it as he's just, he has the ice, he has the river. It's just off. Anyway, Theory once again resumes his US title reign and holds on to it for a long time because he's been losing quite a lot as Money in the Bank holder recently, or otherwise just looking like a big punk bitch. We need to remember that Theory's got ages. He needs to slow down like Bobby V. I've put it in the song, slow down.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to get... I don't know when he'd cash in, but probably attempt to on Cody shortly before next year's Money in the Bank event. I'm assuming that Cody has then like won the Rumble and beaten Roman and stuff. And then I've put in brackets, cat and mouse, ticking clock, explain to the lads what you mean by this.
What do you mean by this?
I think I mean cat and mouse, ticking clock. Like Theory's time's running out. He's only got a year.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, you cash in time. So, yeah. That's the gist of it.
Oh, that'd be quite interesting, actually.
Ooh. You know, that's a, little, like the, that's a little addendum as well at the end. That's not even
sort of tying round. He's got a year to cash it in because
obviously you only get a year. Yeah. That's the rule, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
oh,
no, I don't think they've ever done a story before where someone's time's running out.
Well,
that was only just, I wish I'd made that the centre of my pitch and not all that bollocks there.
Well, I'm going to say yes. Because we've just expanded.
Just because of that bit? Yeah. All right, okay, fair enough. Thank you.
It's a yes from me up until the Cody cash-in.
Oh, right. Yeah. This was literally that, just one bit at the end.
That bit will instigate World War III.
I said attempts to cash in on Cody. I didn't say either way.
Be careful, be careful.
Bomb diffused.
Can't have that. America's hero. Yeah. Imagine the streets. The hell. Glasses getting smashed.
Yeah.
Windows too. Cars on fire.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Not there for that. But apart from that, it's good. Though.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, I think it's really good. That's as well.
Three yeses so far.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. Ross, can you keep it going?
Adam Pearce tells Gunther that he cannot keep running. He has the obligation that some champions have to defend their title at least once every month, depending on when the storyline. Well, he's just not defending, is he? He defended against Ricochet after the week after winning it. Then since then, it's been like, open challenge. I'm not going to bother doing the accent. Open challenge. No, I need another person I'm facing.
Oh, yes.
Ludwig Kaiser, you get in there and face them, will you, you little dafty?
Yeah.
So this match is set up at SummerSlam, which is an open challenge booked by Adam Pearce, where Gunther will take on his own mantra in his own head, where he says what I just said there, that the champion must always defend against someone he knows, and the open challenge is a silly idea. Therefore, he ensures, because he has the champion's power, the advantage of the champion, that he defends against Ludwig Kaiser.
Oh, okay.
He absolutely slaughters him.
Right.
Done. Kaiser's done.
Yeah.
He's not done. He's just slaughtered on the night. Gunther then takes the microphone and says that he is the greatest professional wrestler in the world ever and the mat is sacred, blah de blah de blah. Then all of a sudden we hear a robotic voice on the Tron.
I've got a tickly.
Get it out. Go on. Get it out there. You like one of
Something's caught my throat there. I'm sorry.
I know this is an emotional pitch.
I'm crying. Yeah, no.
The robotic voice. Jack knows what's coming. The robotic voice. We all know what happens when the robotic voice happens. We hear this tune in a high pitch that sounds like it's coming from a Grand Theft Auto theme.
Right, yeah.
You'll know what I mean when we get there. We cut to a shot of the car park. Is it car park? What was it? A, B, H?
The ones next to the river are H and S.
It could be H and S. We could be in there. And we cut to the shot of that car park in Nashville outside the stadium. And what car rocks up, I hear you ask? It's a red Corvette convertible.
And yeah,
which could mean
it's
only
Prince.
One thing.
I don't know. I really don't know.
It's Prince.
Know.
It's not Prince. He's dead. There's several chickadees on the back of the car, all screaming because of the Kevorka that is on display in the front seat of this convertible red Corvette. They are moist.
What?
The absolute stallion in a red leather jacket and shades gets out the car and just runs his mouth and absolutely obliterates Gunther on the mic, just like he did in NXT 2.0. Yeah, me and Jack were recently talking about this. It was the moment where we all believed that LA Knight was the most charismatic man in professional wrestling since The Rock. There was a shot in NXT where he pulled up in his Corvette mm-hmm. and he was just walking through the backstage area. It was like when The Rock used to go like rock up in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just running his mouth, walking through the thing. The camera was walking
backwards. Let me talk to him.
Oh, it was amazing. But I wanted to do this and just run down Gunther. We're running back that angle from NXT 2.0 that wasn't done as much and as well as it could have been. So we're doing it again. It's the main roster debut of LA Knight. He's on SmackDown. He's coming for the Intercontinental Champion. And while he won't get it because Gunther will batter him, this is based in realism, this. Mm-hmm. He'll prove that his Kevorka is stronger than anyone else on the roster and he'll go on to bigger and better things. I know we already saw this in NXT, but we barely scratched the surface and we need to get the former Max Dupri in the mix somehow, so why not debut at the biggest party of the summer?
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you know what? It's a yes from me. I like it and I like that you didn't have him defeat heroically Gunther.
Should he?
No. But I like it. I think maybe if a live main roster crowd saw the power of his promo ability, maybe it would work.
That showcase the strength. Mm.
And also
walking and talking at
the
same time.
That's what I was going to say. The main reason for my yes is because we don't get enough walking and promoing at the same time. Samoa Joe can do it as well very well. Need more of that. Mm. So it's a yes from me.
It's a yes from me too, because I think that would be really cool. I also think I want him to just not... I want him to be like, who's Max Dupri? I don't know who that person is.
Don't even need to reference it.
Don't even need to reference it, right?
Take off the shades is a different guy.
And he was one of the people that came into NXT and I wasn't that fussed about it.
Oh, me neither.
But then sort of getting to know him a little bit more and seeing him on the show every week, I was like, he's pretty good.
Where are you?
And since then, I guess he's not really had a chance to demonstrate what he can do. So against someone like Gunther as well, an incredible technician, an incredible wrestler, that'd be, like you said, a nice showcase for the man.
Yeah. So did you see the NXT rivalry? It was only a few weeks long.
No, I don't think I did.
A couple of backstage segments where LA Knight pulled Gunther's pants down, metaphorically.
No.
Just showed him up. You're a good wrestler, are you? Well, I'm a good sports entertainer. I do both bits. You just do one of them good. Whopper.
I like that. I like that a lot.
A bit better than me there, but he should be in the upper mid card at the very least on the main roster for a couple of years. I know he's getting on a bit, but he's a better promo than 95% of the roster at least.
Yeah, he's pretty good, isn't he?
He's so good.
Oh, so good.
Honestly, right, if you don't watch NXT 2.0 and this happens here, you'll get caught up in the Kevorka.
I think there's a lot of things that are going to happen now, you know, with some NXT people where we actually get to see them beat themselves a little bit more.
Hopefully. I'd just like to clarify, that isn't a thing Triple H told me in the DMs. That's my own pitch.
Oh, that's right. Your own. Okay. Well, mine is somewhat similar. Literally, my second one is about someone coming to face Gunther at SummerSlam. So after dispatching Shinsuke in an IC title match on Friday's SmackDown, Gunther takes to the mic to state that the open challenge still stands, but again reiterates that any champion who defends their title against an opponent who they don't know is a fool. He dares anyone to step up and be next in line in an effort to take the title away from his grasp, but no one answers the call. So later in the night, we're still on SmackDown at the moment. Later in the night, we see an agitated Gunther and Ludwig cross paths with Adam Pearce backstage. Livid that no one accepted the challenge, Gunther hoists Pearce up against the wall and scolds him. I always say that one wrong sometimes, but I think I got it that
scolds
time.
Scolds him, yeah. He doesn't throw a pun.
No, he shouts. Scored.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Verbally. Yeah, exactly. That's it. Basically, he's blaming the authority figure for being the reason as to how and why such a prestigious title could mean so little to the locker room. Pierce tries to calm the situation down by noting that perhaps no one wants to answer the call because you're just a bit intimidating and dominant, young man, Gunther. Yeah? But Pierce might just have the type of person Gunther is looking for. In fact, you want to bring some honor and prestige back to the championship? Well, you've got it. You can defend the title at WWE's biggest party of the summer. And don't worry about your opponent. I have it under good authority that you'll know this person very well. SummerSlam evening arrives, and Gunther makes his way to the ring.
Sorry, carry on.
With Ludwig at his side. And there's a palpable atmosphere in the arena as we await the Intercontinental Champion's opponent, when all of a sudden the audio strike of some iconic power chords rings through the arena. Time to play the game!
What?
Triple H.
No, that's not
has arrived. Now, come on now, don't jump to the conclusions. Sorry. And before we get silly, as I've written
sassy
down
bitch
here, before we get silly, of course, Triple H isn't the one about to face Gunther and kick off a new reign of terror. Or I put here, the era of fear.
What a shame. Eh?
Thanks, Jack. That was, yep.
Yeah, it was good.
No, he's here to announce Gunther's mystery opponent. So someone very near and dear to Trips' heart, actually. In fact, I wrote a Cultaholic.com article from 2020, expertly published by Aiden, reported that Triple H was in fact obsessed with this man who he's about to announce. And since then, we've seen this person battle a number of well-established names and was even the person to take the WWE United Kingdom Championship from the man standing in the middle of the ring. Yeah. Yes, Ilya Dragunov is making his debut on the main roster, and the two go on. They have a belter. It steals the show, and it kind of showcases what we can expect going forward with WWE under new control in terms of like match intensity and everything. But Gunther manages to pick up the win, and as Ludwig enters the ring to hand the ring general his title, he also kind of gears up to lay into Dragunov for a beatdown as well. However, Gunther stops Ludwig from doing such a thing and actually offers out his hand to Dragunov, helping him to his feet. And then Gunther starts screaming at Ludwig, like, this is a true competitor. You could learn something from this man. As he chops Kaiser to the floor, Dragunov looks a little perplexed as to what's happening, but stands beside Gunther as the ring general raises his hand. Ilya Dragunov has joined Gunther's forces. And then you've got Ludwig Kaiser like looking sheepish in the background, like, oh no, someone's taking my spot right now, kind of thing.
heal foreigners. It's 2022.
Oh.
How dare you?
Crazy, right? Crazy.
Oh. It's a yes from me, Andrew.
Thank you.
I'm a big fan of Dragunov.
Mm-hmm.
They had that really good match in the MD Arena.
Yes,
where
they did.
Were like,
it was murder.
I thought for a second that you were. My first guess was Dragunov.
Yeah.
Then the Triple H thing happened. I got a bit confused. Then I thought you were going to say Pete Dunne when you said how much Triple H loves him.
I was thinking.
And I know
was
you're
thinking
a big
about
fan
it.
Of
I
Pete
am
Dunne
a big fan,
well. Yeah.
But I decided I'd go for something a bit different.
Fair enough.
Butch is better than Pete Dunne.
That's just not
That's
true.
Not true in the slightest, is it?
But it's a yes from me.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a yes from me as well. Just as long as they get to do the match they had.
Yeah, me. That's what I want. That's what I really want them to do because I think it'd bring a lot of new fans into WWE, especially people that might have dropped off in recent years for what's going on. I think a match like that could draw people back in again.
So a little fella with word rate will bring them back.
Yes.
Not the Kavoker of LA Knight,
no.
A little man with word rate.
Well, LA Knight
I'm
is what?
One of them men, aren't I?
Men?
Oh, better back in the day. All big and muscular and had lovely promos.
It's like Rick Mayall.
Lovely promos.
Promos.
My second pitch is that Ronda Rousey should beat Liv Morgan in comprehensive and brutal fashion.
Mm-hmm.
The fans love Liv. They live, laugh, love Liv. Liv is the one they love. This would evoke both sympathy for Liv and hatred for Ronda Rousey because I'm sick of Ronda being a babyface when she's clearly a far more natural heel with a sense of superiority not only over her own opponents in the kayfabe realm but in the entire pro wrestling industry in a very real sense as well. Mm. She really hates wrestling and wrestlers.
And the fans more so.
And yeah. The fans as well, yeah.
That was close then.
I don't like how much contempt she has for us.
Yes.
We pay her weight. No, we don't.
Ronda goes on to defend the title in several short matches against a variety of opponents, some who put up a decent fight, like Raquel Rodriguez, some who do not, like Aaliyah. But none of these matches go very long. I've really lost patience with watching Ronda Rousey have 15-minute matches with the likes of Natalya. Yes, they might be more technically difficult to do and therefore demonstrate her growth as a pro wrestler, but it's also made her just another wrestler on the roster. She should never have been that. She should have been another Goldberg. All of her matches should have been like that one against Alexa Bliss that one time at SummerSlam when Ross was losing his mind.
When we defeated WrestleTalk.
Yes, in the predictions, yeah. Why would they predict Alexa Bliss? That's so stupid. Anyway, Ronda's reign of terror continues with nobody able to come close to beating her until finally she meets a worthy opponent at next year's WrestleMania, the 2023 Royal Rumble winner, Sasha Banks.
Oh.
And my last sentence is, Sasha is great and deserves her flowers, which is a term which means, like, the appreciation for when...
Yeah.
It's a yes from me.
I hear people say stuff like, Stormzy deserves his flowers. It's weird, but...
Maybe he does deserve flowers. Maybe
it's not physical
nice.
Flowers.
Yeah, but, though, you know, maybe he does deserve flowers as well.
Anyway, that's...
That could
sorry.
Be a thing that comes back with Triple H that we haven't looked over.
Flowers. Flowers, yeah.
He used to love a flower spot in NXT, didn't he?
Yeah.
Giving the flowers to the tournament winners.
Yeah. When someone's going to the main roster at the last match, flowers would come out. Ross would be on the ramp.
Give flowers to Roman Reigns when he wins. That'd be quite nice.
He'd love that.
Yeah, he would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
It's a yes from me, by the way, as
Thank
well.
Thank you.
I think that'd be really good.
The only downside, I guess... is that Liv's title reign's kind of...
Yeah, that does. That's a bit poo-poo. But she can always win it back, though, can't she?
That's a bit what? Yeah. That's a bit what?
A bit poo-poo.
Whoa.
Pop-off.
Yeah.
She'll bounce back.
Yeah, exactly, she
has the will of the people behind
and
her.
And that's it. Like, she's a fantastic underdog,
I was about to say, and this is terrible, you said the will of the people behind her. I was about to say, like Liz Truss. I don't know why that went...
The opposite of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bollocks to the Tories.
Yeah, of course. 100%. Yes. I don't know why.
I hope they all die in a fire. Earlier in the night, The Miz is pinned by Logan Paul.
Just imagine Liz Truss in WWE. That is a disgrace.
Sorry, I'm Miz going is... to go in a Japanese pork market.
That's quite a good Liz Truss.
That's very good.
Yeah. Wow.
She sounds like a child.
Have you seen Rishi seen Rishi Sunak when he's a teenager? The clip of him going...
I have no poor friends.
He goes, yeah, I have so many friends. I have working class. I have rich friends. I have middle class friends. I have not working class friends.
Wow,
that'd be a preposterous idea.
No,
you little.
One of those two people is going to be the next prime minister. Anyway,
so Logan Paul has pinned The Miz earlier in the night.
Oh. Wow,
Ciampa, who is going radio rental about Logan Paul being all over the Monday Night Raw advertising at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. By God, he loses his bananas after this. fall goes down. It was a fantastic promo just after Raw. I don't know if you've seen
it. Yeah,
it
was so good.
On social media. Mm-hmm. And proved that maybe Tommaso Ciampa with two names, should be higher up the card. Mm. So later in the night, I want Tommaso Ciampa with the two names to cost Bobby Lashley the US Championship. I want it to cost Pat McAfee against Happy Corbin. And I want to see Tommaso Ciampa with the two names rip the mask off Rey Mysterio's head and spit in his eye.
Jesus.
Bollocks to it. I want to see him drag a child out the front row and bitch slap that little prick around. No serious damage, just rough him up a bit.
Yeah.
Just, you know, introduce him to life.
Yeah.
Life of Hard Knocks. I need to see, and I want to see, Tommaso Ciampa with the two names come out of SummerSlam as a big bloody heel with Triple H now in power. I think that could be a thing that could happen. But I want to use SummerSlam 2022 as the vehicle to get the wheels moving, the wheels in motion. Love's got the world in motion. And as we know how brilliant Tommaso Ciampa was with the two names as a heel in NXT.
Yeah.
While the partnership with The Miz could work, I think that promo where Miz just sort of went, well, Tommaso Ciampa was cutting this amazing promo showed that maybe Ciampa could be on his own now and could be a viable, you know, upper mid-level card heel main event.
Feuding with LA Knight.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that he's already basically said, I'm using The Miz anyway to sort of...
You're the famous man.
Yeah.
You're going to make me more famous.
I think that's such a good thing. And, oh, God, imagine.
At least we finally got a reason.
Non-aired
segment after Raw, but, you know.
I'll be honest with you, my initial third pitch was to just have Theory cash in and win. But then I saw with this week's Raw, and I can't allow that to happen.
No.
He looks like a little bitch.
He does.
Punk bitch.
My argument was, like, it's better than what we're getting with Roman at the minute. If he was there every week, or most weeks. I just don't like the champion not being there for ages.
But when he is there, it's electric.
Yeah. It is.
Who's your daddy now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bye, Tommaso Ciampa, just doing heelish things throughout the night, ruining the card, getting as much heat as possible, and coming out with SummerSlam a proper big bloody heel, which we don't have in the WWE, do we?
No.
Who is the proper big bloody heel?
Well, Roman, but he's
Roman,
not.
But he's like everyone loves him.
Yeah. People cheer him. I guess. Happy Corbin.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's as close as we're getting.
Yeah.
Just despicable people.
That would be so, like, it's a yes from me, by the way, because to build Ciampa up as that, Tommaso Ciampa up as this huge heel who can topple him, then Triple H brings back Johnny Gargano.
Oh, this rebel.
Ooh, you sweet. I don't know.
I am.
Something like that would be, thinking ahead. Something like that would be phenomenal. And also, Tommaso Ciampa is one of the best heels in NXT, black and gold anyway. So to see that play out on the main roster,
it's a no from me, unfortunately. Oh, no. I'm sorry. while you were making that pitch, I had one bridge of one song rattling around my brain, and that was Slipknot's Before I Forget. I'm not even a big metal boy, but...
What is it? What was the line?
Before I...
No, the bridge. You know the bridge?
The bridge?
Yeah, what does the lyrics go like in the bridge?
Can't even remember.
The ends justify the means. I don't think the ends justify the means.
Do you not reckon?
No, I don't. I think you've ruined SummerSlam. What? The biggest party
of
the summer.
It's all him.
Well, for me, the ends don't justify... I understand what you're doing and I agree with it to an extent, but I can't bring myself to ruin the biggest party of the summer.
All right, I'll take out... Right, Theory taking the title off Lashley. I'll leave that in.
No, he's ruining too many things.
The other two.
He's ruining
the
Pat.
The other two I'll take out. Pat. The child.
No, I'll keep that one in.
He's ruining
his estate. He's ruining Pat getting... I can't bring myself to do it, Ross. I'm sorry.
I'll take the Pat one out and it's a yes. I'll take the three yeses.
What are you doing? You're doing a Sam Driver. Well, you change your pitch after the verdict's been given.
I just want three yeses.
You're so close. Well, you've got three yeses. Jack just said yes.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
you just said no.
No, but you changed it.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. I might have gone a bit off the rails with this last one, by the way, because I was struggling a little bit, but you'll see.
Okay.
You'll see. So we get to the Mysterios versus the Judgment Day. We frantically cut backstage to Balor, Priest, and Rhea attacking Dom. They use chairs, weapons, tables to effectively demonstrate that he's done for tonight. He's not coming out tonight. Rhea runs in to make the save as the Judgment Day back off, but the Judgment Day mock Rhea, given that he's at a disadvantage tonight and anything goes in this no DQ match. The show continues, and once again, we cut backstage to Rey. Dom is shown being placed on a stretcher, ready to be taken into the back of an ambulance. Rey, he's just like pacing up and down, and then suddenly halts when he looks up and off screen as well. We don't see who he's talking to, but Ray essentially asks and begs this person for help. As much as he wants to get his revenge, taking care of his son is far more important to him right now. So please, for all time's sake, any means necessary, he says as he jumps into the back of the ambulance with Dom, and off he goes. Woo! that's the sound of the ambulance.
Yeah!
Yeah! Woo! The Judgment Day make their way out to the ring, awaiting their opponents for the evening when Balor takes to the mic to mock the Mysterios and everyone else that seems to have crossed paths with the faction before being cut off by the rated R superstar Edge. And yes, I think, you know, I know that a lot of us are sort of speculating that Edge is going to come back at SummerSlam. Edge makes his return here to confront the Judgment Day. And even though he might be riled up given the fact that he was ejected from his own group, Balor laughs and reminds Edge that there's two of them and one of him.
Oh.
Edge, though, oh, claims that he hasn't come alone. In fact, whilst he was... I don't know why I do this. Whilst he was festering in self-pity and doubt after being blindsided.
On his mountain of omnipotence.
Oh, I can really feel this,
right,
Andrew.
Right? Whilst he was festering in self-pity and doubt after being blindsided and humiliated, he realized what his downfall was. He was too busy trying to raise up the careers of Priest and Ripley to new levels rather than focus on himself. You see, the rated R superstar, the ultimate opportunist, they would have looked out for no one but themselves. They would have seized the moment to capitalize off that somehow, but instead they grew weak, caring. Edge isn't out here to honor his friends, the Mysterios. No, he's here because Balor awakened the ultimate opportunist inside him, and everything always comes full circle. Full circle. Okay. Have that in your mind. Right, What's the full circle? The Titantron shows the image of the locked door seen in Edge's promos suddenly unlock and slowly open, with the image of Balor, Priest, and Rhea's head stretched over three lanterns. The lights dim in the arena, and when they return, Wyatt Six, now this is a new form of Wyatt, maybe similar, I was thinking, to the kind of like the Thorn-esque attire that Alexa was wearing at WrestleMania, but like goo and all this, and I don't know, stands behind Balor. And it's bloody chaos, by God, whoa, he's back, and I didn't really finish or iterate what was going to happen after that. But I kind of was thinking, right, Edge is like, yes, I'm the ultimate opportunist. Yes, I've unlocked this thing and I've brought this thing back to try and absolutely batter you. But Edge hasn't thought of the consequences that this might bring with it. Because how do you control someone like that?
In his mind, he's unlocked this door. Yeah. But in reality, Wyatt...
See, I've taken that as, you're telling me that Edge, Adam Copeland...
Yeah.
Has had Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, locked in a room.
In his mind.
Free
his,
air.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think about it in that way, actually.
I know it's a cool reveal, but what is the link between the pair?
Well, I just thought of the cool reveal and sort of built around that.
I mean, that's what WWE often do.
You're putting the moment ahead of the storyline.
I was literally thinking of the full circle thing. That Bray said multiple times on his Twitter, thinking, like, I guess it would come round full circle because The Fiend had his first match against Finn Balor at SummerSlam 2020. So I was thinking, you come full circle, you know, you got the spooky bollocks that Finn Balor and the Judgment Day are trying to, you know, implement into the product. Whereas, like, oh, so you've got spooky bollocks. Well, Edge has now got spooky bollocks too in the form of The Fiend or Bray Wyatt in some new form or another. I was thinking, in some nude form, he's just naked, with black goo trickling down him. But then I was thinking, like, Edge has brought him back, yes, he's the ultimate opportunist and whatever, but he's not thought of the consequences of, like, he's brought this person back, but no one can, you know, control him. He just goes off. And what I was thinking as well was, he just, like, goes off beating Balor or whatever, but then that leaves, you know, like, Rhea and Priest to just beat on Edge, and then they... pick up the win, because I think they need a win, to be honest.
Beat on it.
They
beat on it. They beat off Edge and win in the middle of the ring.
What I'm picturing here is two halves of two beautiful jigsaws.
Yeah.
But those jigsaws just...
We can't put them together. I don't know where the connective tissue is yet.
It has to be a no from me. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I kind of expected the reaction to this one.
I want to see The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, where the hell, Wyatt Six, back. So it's a yes from me, even though... I am struggling to put those two jigsaws together. I'll just get some gaffer tape and that'll do.
Fair enough. I like it. Thank you.
It's a moment that we'll speak about forever. What?
No, that's very kind of you. I'm going to take that.
My last pitch also concerns the Mysterios and the Judgment Day. I've said, during the match, the ref gets bumped or maybe distracted by Rhea Ripley on the outside. A chair ends up in the ring. Rey's got his back to Dominic. Dominic picks up the chair and looks at it. And he throws it out of the ring because he's a good boy and he doesn't do that sort of thing. Also, he hates the Judgment Day. They pure beat him and everything, so why would he even want to join them in the first place? Hmm. Which is true. The match continues. Dom and Balor have a bit of a fast-paced exchange. Balor gets dropped into position for the 619. Dom swings around the ropes. Chair shot to the knees from the outside from Rey Mysterio. Papa?
My knee.
Rey has broken his own son's legs.
Oh, Jesus.
He rolls his limp, twitching carcass back into... Why have I written this? He rolls his limp, twitching carcass back into the ring. Balor hits the coup de grace and pins Dom. The match is over. Rey gets on the mic and looks down at a broken, beaten Dom and says the following. This is partly inspired by his promo on Raw. Dom, bro, me and you have been tight since day one, homie. Because on Raw he said that him and his son had been tight.
Yeah, yeah.
They were, something. But you're really dragging me down these days. I've not won a singles title in forever and I need a stronger crew around me. That's why I had to break your knees. I'm going to disown you now. I am not your poppy and you are not my fellow DJ. This makes Rey really hated and Dom really loved, maybe. It is perfect booking. Maybe even Rey ditches this mask and goes back to devil horns like he wore in WCW with the Filthy Animals.
I don't think he should do that.
Fair enough.
Haven't seen his face. Do you remember his face?
What do you mean?
It's just a lot older, isn't it?
Oh, well, you think of him as like a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe just put devil horns on there.
Okay.
On the mask.
I know he is in his 50s. Is he in his 50s?
He said he's not. I think he was saying that he's not going to wrestle past 50, so that means he's got 3 years left. So I think he's like 47.
All right, Poirot.
Hello, it's me. Moffonchet.
But he has the face of a very old man.
I did not know that.
Because I couldn't believe it, mate.
When we saw him.
In WCPW.
I can't even remember what his face really. I think in my mind I was just picturing like 2000 Rey.
That's what I was picturing.
Right.
Sat in there in my bedroom watching Channel 5, but no, he's not there anymore.
Is he not?
He's aged like every other human. How dare he do
in
that?
In some ways, not in terms of his speed.
No, yeah. Well, he's a medical marvel.
Yeah.
Just an old face. But I'm fully on board with this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is my joke one.
Anything to put down these young whippersnappers.
Yeah.
Arrogance of youth and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Fraser upstairs moaning about the trains yesterday. Puffed.
Young man yells at
me. No, he had a bad journey back up.
Yeah, I heard about it. Saw it on
good.
Twitter.
Bring him back down to earth a bit.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It was me who was always saying the arrogance of you. I feel like something's happened and you're now on board.
Starbucks cup.
He's got a Starbucks cup.
He's got a reusable Starbucks cup.
Oh, I thought it was his very flippant Wimbledon prediction on the podcast.
And that as well.
And he went, I've beaten Nadal and Djokovic in the final.
And did he?
No.
There we go. Arrogance
Nadal
of
was
you.
Injured when he
pulled yeah, he was, wrecked yeah. his knees in the semi-final or his abs or something.
Mm.
Fraser didn't care. I ain't Nadal and Djokovic.
I would like to see Rey heal as well.
Yeah.
Just to see what it would be like.
Yeah. I think it'd be really
I think
cool.
It'd be terrible, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
Imagine him cutting a heel promo.
Hey, you people. My knee.
Oh, I'm gonna say yes to this as well.
Wow.
And I like the fact that you break Dom's legs. So then they're on a level playing field, right? With all the stuff that's happened to Ray's knees in the past.
Well, him I thought and Dom, you mean, Dom has got... to kneel down against his dad and they're like the same height. All right.
No, now you know there's damage to the knees, to the legs.
To his knees.
And I wanna see. I think it'd be more surprising, wouldn't it, for Rey to become the heel. No, but like I think that's something that'd be really surprising and really cool to see.
I'm not sure I could look really stupid in hindsight, but I'm not sure if Dom is gonna turn on Rey at SummerSlam.
I don't think he is either.
Because it was such a comprehensive beatdown of Rey. I feel like there needs to be a happy ending of the story at SummerSlam. I don't know.
I think something's going to happen because with the Judgment Day winning. No, sorry, Rey Mysterio and Dom winning this week.
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe Edge will come back and save him.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't think Rey will wrestle on Sunday. I think they wrote him off.
I feel like they're going to take Dom out and then.
With his arm injury.
So then it'll be Edge.
Edge and Dom.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool.
That's what I think's going
to
happen.
I'm your Canadian poppy.
But this isn't a predictions video. This is a pitch.
This is what we want to happen. I want that more than my pitch.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
And it probably will. That stands a better chance of happening.
Triple H told me last night on DM.
Yeah, best mates.
What, you up to, lol? Just booking Edge's travel, huh? Right. Thanks, everyone. Those are some good pitches.
Cheers.
I feel like the bar for yeses and noes is like higher now because we're just too good at it, which is really good now. So it's difficult. Did you enjoy it, Dan? Thumbs up from Dan
thumbs
as well.
Thumbs up from Dan.
Then did you enjoy it as well? Let us know your pitches in that comment section down below. Try and outdo it. Try and outdo us, the experts, and see if you can. Ross, I'm assuming there's just loads of coverage for SummerSlam.
It's all the normal stuff in it. Yeah. Predictions and reactions and other things.
What happened at? I'll be doing a what happened at. And the shortly afterwards, you'll be doing a WTF moment. Yeah. Andrew?
predictions and live reactions. Predictions tomorrow, and then live reactions on the Saturday night.
On the night.
Because
remember, it's on Saturday this week, not Sunday. That's when
Because on Sunday.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't wait.
It's the actual biggest party of the summer. Ric Flair's last match.
Someone send this to Conrad so he can share it on Twitter. Because that's what he's been doing with all the other yo chovers.
Yeah, yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
I can't wait for Ric Flair's last match.
Let's not get shared on Conrad's Twitter. thank you very much for watching. I hope you've enjoyed the video and we'll see you very soon.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.